You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Thank you. Good afternoon. It is August the 29th. Thanks for joining us for our political forum on this Thursday. With us today, Jim Nensel, editor of The Weekly. We'll break down the pages of The Weekly on radio. Keith Rosenblum from Mexico. The United States and Mexico asylum program widens to reject all migrants. We'll talk about Mark Stegeman and his predictions that we'll stop losing students from TUSD. We have. How to get better? How do you make it better than it is? Steve Lynn will be with us. Civic Leader will be talking about the politics of 2019 and Regina Romero as the Democratic nominee for mayor of Tucson. Then we'll talk with Mo Goldman, an immigration lawyer, about what's happening at the border. It's a very busy day, a Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Here's Jim Nensel of The Weekly. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Why, thank you, John. I was driving by your house after the election on Tuesday. Yeah. So you had your four sign sale up.
Yep, it's gone. We're all leaving. We're all out of town. Last person out, turn out the lights.
You've had enough. This city's going to hell in a handbasket. I know. You're medded out.
I know. That's right. Yeah. Well, yeah. You think it can't get worse, but you know what? It can.
Well.
It absolutely can. Well, I tell you, this campaign's going to be remembered, really, because Regina Romero is the first Hispanic to be nominated for mayor, and more than likely, it depends on how this
first
turns out. First woman to be mayor. That's true. And, she's got to beat our independent
Ackerley
candidate.
Ackerley fellow, right?
Ed Ackerley. And yep. He's running a pretty good campaign. Talked to him just a little bit ago. He's raising some money. People are calling him up saying, we can't have Romero as mayor. Here's some money. So we'll find out how that works. But I'll tell you, it's also going to be remembered with an asterisk, because nowhere in our history books can we find $750,000 thrown at a Democratic primary for mayor or city council or any local office. That's a huge amount of money. And
it was spent. I think it was more than a million.
I think you're probably right.
I've heard 1.5.
Wow.
We'll check those numbers.
Holy cow.
I should look into that.
Well, I want to talk to Raul Grijalva. He calls me up yesterday. He says, I want to be on your show. I went, well, you can be on the show anytime you want. Well, how about Friday? I said, Fridays are good. I said, when do you want to be on? Well, how's about 4 o'clock? If it's 4 o'clock, it's good. I just am going to tell you, you need to answer my questions. And the first question is going to be, how involved were you in the Regina Romero campaign? Did you orchestrate the outside money? And we'll see what he says.
We'll see what he says.
I don't know what he's going to say. He can't say it didn't have anything to do with it. Can't say
well,
I didn't support
her. Regina has certainly been very tight with groups like Planned Parenthood and the Sierra Club who funded a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, but she couldn't go out and get the extra money. She had to have somebody else had to do it. I mean, it would be illegal for her to do it. I mean,
Right. No, but I mean, I think those groups were sympathetic to her.
Well, I'm sure they were.
From the jump.
They should have been sympathetic to Steve Farley, because he voted for him, Labor voted for women all of his legislative career. And
he
what did he get?
He did have a solid record with all of those interest groups as well.
He got a knife in the back. Here, take this. Turn around. Here's a knife. Let's go to The Weekly and the pages of The Weekly as we break them down on radio. We've got the Fall Arts
can
Edition.
I pick up that paper?
I got it.
It's so thick.
What happened here? Anyway, I mean, come on, really.
Look
I've never
that.
Seen
it's
so
like a,
many
like
pages.
It's a 1990s edition of the Tucson Weekly.
It certainly is. Well, I picked one up and I said, I must have two here.
Yeah.
No,
it's
only one.
As a matter of fact, yes. We're happy to say we did very well this week.
Boy,
we
you certainly
big,
did.
Fall Arts Preview. In the paper this week.
Tell us what people can expect from all the information about the arts of Tucson.
Holy cow, do we have a lot in here. So we have a lot about visual arts and what's going on in the galleries and in the museums. And, there's a big Bauhaus celebration coming up this fall. A lot of focus on the German School of Design, the Bauhaus School.
Ooh.
Got shut down by the Nazis.
Yeah.
But before that, extraordinarily influential design school whose work resonates design today in terms of combining form and function and whatnot. So Yeah, that's going on. A lot about what's going on in our theater community coming up, what's happening with a lot of classical music, and then also dance and an interview with the new artistic director at Arizona Theater Company. So it's a thick package, letting folks know what's going on in the arts over the months to come. And I'm super proud. We just have terrific arts writers who will really let you know what's happening in that part of the community.
And Hotel Congress celebrating its 100th with 100-plus bands for the big HoCo Fest.
Yeah, that's going on, too. The HoCo Fest is going to be off the hook. I don't know if any of them are the bands you want to be seeing. But there is some amazing stuff going on if you enjoy live music with a whole bunch of different themes happening. You know, there's this band, Phoenix Afrobeat Orchestra, John, that is just spectacular. It's kind of a funk cumbia, a lot of Latin stuff going on in there, a lot of African stuff going on in there, and it's just like an amazing group of performers. There's like 15 of them up on stage with horns and guitar and drums and backup singers, and it's spectacular. That's going on Saturday night. That would be a definite highlight if you like the live music.
All right. Under the current section, you've got Splitting the Check, and you've got the two senators, McSally, Sinema, and then the would-be senator, obviously, who wants to take over for Martha McSally, Mark Kelly. A little bit about that article, please.
Yeah, so we took a look. There's obviously, in the wake of our most recent round of mass shootings in Dayton and El Paso, a renewed call to improve background checks in the country, as well as move forward with perhaps red flag laws, where folks who are seeing that someone they know who has a lot of firearms is perhaps acting weirdly or dangerously or making threats or what have you, you can actually go in and have them appear before a judge and possibly have their weapons taken away if it appears as though, you know, there's some danger to themselves or to others. So, you know, obviously a big push for those kinds of laws in the wake of those mass shootings. And I think that we have Kyrsten Sinema talking about how she supports those kinds of legislation. Martha McSally did not get back to us about where she stands on these laws, but certainly in the past she has opposed them. And then Mark Kelly, who wants to run against Martha McSally, is saying that, you know, these laws make sense to him. Certainly knows a lot about gun violence, Mark Kelly, and has been working that issue for some time. So it's not a surprise to see where he stands on that. So, we kind of rounded up their positions on those things as best we could. If folks don't get back to us, we can only go back and look at their record. And, Kathleen Coons put that one together for us this week.
And a little bit of what to do over the holiday weekend. We've got a Labor Day weekend coming up. It's always marked the end of the summer for me back in Kansas. We just quit the wheat fields and went back to school after Labor Day. Never made it to Canada, as working at North from Texas. But that was always a big demarcation point there, where it was Labor Day and summer is over. It's
right.
Over. So
and
there it is.
These days in Arizona, it feels like summer's over in October. So
it is.
Halloween.
Actually, it's Halloween. That's right.
It kind of felt to me like summer was over on August 1st when I had to take my kid back to school. I tell you what, there's a lot of different things marking the end of summer these days. But I guess we can't wear white after this weekend.
Really? Right? I didn't realize that.
Is that the rule? You can't wear white after?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't wear a lot of white, but I'm a white shirt for church or something.
I had it on for my appearance on Arizona 360.
Oh, did you?
White suit. I went Tom Wolf because it was my last chance of the season white suit. And no,
But
you will be able to see me on Arizona 360.
Give me a profile of Danahy this week.
Oh, Danahy. You know, Danahy is talking about how hard it is to be a teen girl these days. And
really?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's in touch with the teen girls somehow.
Sure.
And he just knows what's
going on with
he's
taught a lot of them basketball, so he's dealt with them, and he's been a coach of these young girls and a great coach, I understand, for decades. I mean, just forever.
Terrific coach.
Yeah, really terrific coach.
He's concerned about the cell phones.
Yeah, he is. They're corrupting young women and the world, for that matter.
Spend too much time on the phones.
So yes. Yeah.
He's worried about what that's doing to him.
All right, very quickly. You know, you've got to give me
spend too much time on the phone. quite
often. Well, don't we all? A little bit about the primary election 2019. It's all history now, and we move on to the general election. Raheena Romero, I believe that there's a possibility of turning back the clock to the times of the more progressive anti-business attitude of City Hall could rear its head again, and we'd all be back into Not In My Backyard. If Raheena Romero changes her mind on the sanctuary city status of the city and says, I support it, there will be a flip and then a flop. If she goes back on the $15 minimum wage as mayor of Tucson, there'd be a flip and a flop. And that's possible. And then we'd be off and running into a world we used to be in where we fought all the time with the neighborhoods and the business community, and neither could see either side of the story, and it just got to be a damn mess. It seems to be a lot better now, but what do you think is going to happen?
Well, you know, I think, you know, those were certainly the old battles, neighborhoods versus business development, et cetera. We saw a lot of that in the old days. I don't think the neighborhoods have the same kind of political organization as they once had. I do hear from neighborhood associations even today that they're unhappy with some of the decisions made down at City Hall. They feel like, you know, they are being disrespected in one way or another. But you really don't see those battles the way you used to in this town. And, you know, I'm sure you have spoken to Raheena on your program. And every time I talk to her, she makes a point, and I think she makes a point of doing this because she recognizes that a lot of people feel as though she is not business friendly. She certainly makes a point of talking about how much economic development means to her, that she wants to see businesses growing, that she has the same voting record as Jonathan Rothschild on economic development issues down at City Hall. You know, she is well aware that there are critics out there who are saying she is not business friendly, and that she certainly seems determined to portray herself as somebody who will be working with businesses and encouraging business. And, you know, time will tell exactly where that goes, but it's certainly something she's aware of, and not a label that she's willing to fight against. Let's just put it that way.
Is there a Grijalva machine, and did it play an instrumental role in nominating her for mayor?
Well, I think every good politician has a machine of some kind or another, right? I mean, you certainly, if you don't have people out there encouraging people to vote for you, you're probably doing something wrong as a politician. I don't doubt that the connections between Raheena, who is married to Raul's district director, helped her in her campaign. But I don't think that she's like merely a puppet of Raul Grijalva. I think she has her own thoughts on these things, and I'm not sure how focused Raul is in on the issues that face mayor of Tucson in terms of picking up trash or fixing potholes or what have you.
I'm not sure either. I guess I will ask him tomorrow. How do you feel about trash? How do you feel about the circumference of a trash can?
Yeah, what do you think about the what they're charging at?
Molly McCassin was concerned about that. I watched Molly McCassin on television during a study session of the council for 3 hours discuss the circumference of a garbage can. I don't know whether we ever found out what was the best circumference, but we have one, so they're round.
We still have different sizes in the city of Tucson.
I know.
Or just one standard size?
I don't know.
I've left the city behind. I don't know. I'm out in the county now.
You're a county person now. Well, moving
yeah,
on.
Well, yeah, you of know, course. Once I saw which way the mayor's race was going,
yeah,
I
said, I'm out of here. I'm not going to be a part of this city.
I'm just joking.
They're coming after you with annexation, and then you'll have to be a part of them.
I would love to be a part of the city, too.
Well, why don't you?
I just don't know that my neighbors are, you know.
They probably don't.
You know, I don't think my neighbors like me much.
I don't know why not. You have the two of the most beautiful daughters on earth and a beautiful wife and a great family. Why not?
You're very, very sweet.
I've seen them on Facebook. I know who they are. I say, boy, what a beautiful family this is.
Boy, Dave, I had trouble with them yesterday, I'll tell you.
Did you? Well, you got up.
One of them turned their ankle, and I was trying to carry her, and the like 2.5-year-old's like, carry me instead. I'm like trying to explain to her that she has to take one for the team here, and the 2.5-year-old's not listening and not helping at all, you know. She's like just causing trouble.
Yeah.
It's hard to carry both of them at the same time. An old man and...
I understand.
They're wiggling and fighting. Anyway, yeah. We all got home safely.
I'm glad of that. All right, well, we'll be talking to you next week. Appreciate you being on the show, and very nice to have the Pages of the Weekly on radio. Thank you so much.
So many pages.
All of these pages.
This is a
good
thick
grief.
Issue. Folks are going to love our fall arts.
And there's actually writing on some of these pages. It's hard to believe. It's amazing.
Oh, for sure.
Thank you.
Award-winning.
Award-winning. You got it. Jim Nensel, have a great holiday weekend. Appreciate it.
We'll talk to you soon, John.
Yeah, thank you so much. Award-winning journalist, editor of The Weekly, Jim Nensel on the John C. Scott Show. Keith Rosenblum from Mexico, my guest after these messages. Well, he's a former congressional aide, longtime journalist, covers Mexico for many publications across the country. He's one of the best journalists in America, and he's our friend. He's Keith Rosenblum, and he joins us now. Hi, Keith. Welcome to our show. Thank you.
Hello, John Scott. One day you'll do a story, you'll do a segment, rather, on stories on Mexico that the Tucson Weekly wasn't gutsy enough to print.
Really?
I'll leave that to you, bet. I'll leave that at that, but I would invite Jim Nensel to be on and to have Keith on. Have a great conversation.
I absolutely will. My gosh.
Okay.
We got a Trump administration program forcing asylum seekers to wait in Mexico, and you'd think they'd be stacked up like cordwood now with very little in resources to keep them alive or keep them out of the elements. What do you see when you go to Mexico? Do you see enclaves of migrants that can't cross the border that the United States rejects, and they're just hovering there, camped out? What do you see?
In Nogales, you see nothing. Nogales is Nogales either has a respite from all of this, or the border itself is in respite mode. That is, there's not a lot going on. I don't see it. I think that there's a calm right now. There's still plenty of Mexicans and still plenty of Central Americans who are on the Mexican side. And if you ever want a glimpse exactly of what's going on, I would urge you or anybody else listening to go volunteer. When you go through Nogales, through the Mariposa Road, Periférico exit, on your left-hand side, as soon as you're no more than 100 yards from leaving the States, on your left-hand side, you'll see signs. I'm not sure what they say, but on the left-hand side, you'll see a building, and you'll always see a slew of short, dark-skinned people there, and that's one of the soup kitchens. And I've been teaching a class, actually, at the Santa Cruz County Provisional Community College in Nogales, Arizona, and it's remarkable how many people volunteer and how many of these people never get the time of day or the spotlight from anyone. It's a wonderful group of people from the U.S. We're talking about from Tucson, Nogales, Rio Rico, Tubac, and this goes on all the time. And as I say, of late, I haven't seen anything that would suggest any real bumps or steep declines in numbers downtown at the DeConcini port of entry, which is Grand Avenue, and all over at Morley Avenue. There's nobody. It's a very easy entrance. The interesting thing is that now the CBP, Customs and Border Protection, when you go into the U.S., require you to show your passport from Mexico. So you have to show your ID and say, hey, I'm a U.S. citizen. What they're concerned with is that if you actually step foot on American soil, Central American, you'll be treated different than where you were Central American and you never got your foot. Think of a first down or in a goal area of football. Once you get in, you have it may be a matter of inches, but different rules apply. It's either fourth and a few inches or it's a new first down. I'm not a football person, but I know enough about that to pass it on. Also, I want to take advantage of having your mic today to pass on something what I consider to be really cool.
Sure.
Do I have you okay?
Absolutely.
I've been working for the last couple of months to try and recruit for Nogales, Mexico, one of the experts in North America on composite manufacturing. And the city of Nogales, Sonora, last night gave him the job. It's very cool because composites, which is the future of certainly of a lot of the aviation industry, bicycles. If you know anyone that has a Schwinn, you'll know that they generally weigh 100 pounds or something horrible. And if you know anyone that has a Diamondback or a Santa Cruz or a Titan, you'll know that they weigh a pound or two. Those are composites. And Nogales, Sonora, yesterday received, after 50 years, it received the Parque Industrial de Nogales. In 1969, the Campbell family of Nogales, Arizona, made a deal with the Mexican government, and I don't remember the amount of acres, but built really what was Mexico's first border industrial park to take advantage of the maquiladoras. And the Campbells had a 30-year concession at that time to run the park and to pay the city of Nogales a certain either percentage or a certain amount. Of late, it's been $125,000 per month to the city of Nogales, Mexico. Well, after 30 years, so that's from 1969 to 1999, that concession lapsed. And in 1999, the Campbells and the company that they ran were awarded another 20 years. So that brings us to 2019. Anyway, yesterday was the day that the park reverted to ownership of the city of Nogales, Mexico. Why is that relevant? It's relevant because you have a city entity, and this is almost unique for Mexico, that is the owner of its own industrial park and has clients from all over the world. And my job had been to track down an expert in composites material. And I found the guy after lots of hunting. This is what reporters, he was a reporter, hunted down a guy whose name is Arturo Medrano. And this guy has had next to the highest clearance we have in the U.S. government for security access. He knows everything about composites. He's a wonderful man. And soon he'll be moving to Tucson and working in Nogales, Mexico, and hopefully attracting composite companies to go to Nogales. In Mexico right now, the only composite companies really are located either in Querétaro, which is down south, or Mexicali itself, a little bit in Mexico City, a little bit in, I think, either Sinaloa or southern Sonora. Anyway, last night, the city council of the Cabildo of Nogales, Mexico, voted to after taking the park back formally or legally, gave the offer to Mr. Medrano to run it. And so you'll be hearing his name in the months or hopefully years to come in Tucson, because there's an awful lot of composites business and defense business in particular, think drones, that could wind up being done jointly. That is, this is one of the things that Raytheon does, that could be done partly in Tucson and partly in Nogales as well, if it's able to get what now would be an incubator industry, but later on might become something bigger. In gear. So thanks. I just wanted to pass that on.
Wow, that's a great story. That's a great story with a great history, an amazing history.
Well, these are the Mexican stories that you don't get to hear.
Yes, exactly.
I appreciate the venue that you give me, and I'd like to see. I hope that one day there'll be 90% stories about people doing cool things in the border area on both sides and in Sonora. And you'll be doing stories doing 90% about creative people doing things that bring people together and make money for the two sides, and maybe 5 or 10% about security stories and walls and deranged presidents. Pardon me. I guess that was.
Throw that one in. That's good. Keep that one in.
Who believe that somehow moats and walls and medieval mentality, things that look good, actually will serve a purpose.
By the way, the United States has said at least 32,000 people have been sent back to Mexico. Around 5,500 have been sent to Laredo, about 3,000 people to Matamoros. Migrants in Mexican border cities say they were told they would receive help when they were sent back to Mexico, a promise that for most of the part has just not been kept. I don't know who's going to help them. 13 people told the Associated Press they were asked for any information about their cases for border agents, and they couldn't come up with any names at all. So, I mean, you got people missing, you got people that are struggling, you got people that are just homeless because they've been sent to a place where they're not welcome, and there's very little help for them. But this is going to go on for a long time, Keith Rosenblum, and it's going to be a part of the border story for decades to come, I'm afraid. I hate to say that, but I think it's going to happen for
forever. That is, and you don't want to, one case like that is painful. But Mexico, for what the country is, does a pretty reasonable job of being a host to these people. There's no, in fact, if you look at some of the conditions in our facilities over the last couple of months, Mexico may do a superior job. There's very little. If you look at the government of Nogales, Mexico, for example, or Agua Prieta, you know, opposite Douglas, or San Luis, opposite San Luis, Arizona, and Yuma. Generally, their budgets are somewhere in the order of, I want to say, 1/6 or 1/7 per capita of what a similar size city in the U.S. would be. So the municipal governments have always been on the strap side, and it's up to the federal government to fill in the gaps there. And so you have the federal government and sometimes the local government, a lot of times church or, you know, volunteer organizations on the Mexican side that do what they can to, so I don't want to say that things are wonderful on the Mexican side, but I also don't want to have it be some kind of, you know, equivalent of Afghanistan under siege conditions either.
Well, there's not going to be any room for immigration reform in the next session of the Congress when they get back this fall. I don't think that's ever going to happen before this election of 2020. We're going to have another president, or if we have the same one, we're right back where we started. This is just going on and on endlessly. Everybody knows
those numbers
we need
that
to
you brought up. Yeah. If you allow me, those numbers that you just brought up, the 5,000, where you talk about for Nuevo Laredo and these other, you know, in a country of 120 million. It ain't that bad. As much as I don't want to be the person to say that everything's fine, where would you have been? I'm wondering if there had been a John C. Scott show in the 40s where you would have been on the Japanese detention camp up Mount Lemmon and elsewhere. I'm not accusing you or applauding you. I'm just saying that you wonder where we are as a people and who was speaking up at that time. And yes, these things are taking place in right under our nose. They're such troubling philosophical questions, I guess. And so, but what I wanted to point out there was that those numbers that you just mentioned are not the things of which revolutions are made. They're things of which social issues have to be dealt with. You don't want to create the impression that you got people teeming on the border and this problem being, it is not what it's been advertised to us as being.
Well, what's happening with our president of Mexico? You've been a keen observer of his morning talks with the people of Mexico. Is he still doing that, or did he just get tired and say, oh, the heck?
I am. I think this might be the basis on which to have me admitted to an insane asylum.
Good.
You're one of the promoters of that.
I'm just saying, that's where you need to go.
Andre Lopez Obrador, President Lopez Obrador, every day.
Every day.
Monday through Friday, has the most remarkable open Q&A press conference. Yesterday's was it yesterday or the day before? I've lost track of time. It was the day before yesterday. He starts the conference. Now, mind you, this is 7:00 Mexico City time after he's had his national security meeting. So he's already got everybody working from 6 a.m. on. And at 7 a.m., he has the Q&A with Mexico City. And so, if he's traveling, then the regional press as well. And the day before yesterday, you could see on the stage as the thing began, this is going to be a different day. And guess who's on the stage with him that day? It is Carlos Slim. It is a slew of the Mexican business class. And they're discussing how the president, along with the chambers of commerce, along with the businessmen there who all represent both U.S. and Mexican companies, have made a deal. And they're going to deal with the issue of the gas pipes, for which Lopez Obrador had been saying since day one of his administration, these are too expensive. We've been ripped off. We're going to get some of our money back. The public coffers, you know, have no reason to be paying so much. And he did it. And you had all this really unusual scenario where all these business suit guys got up, starting with Carlos Slim, who was just a master of dealing with the press and being both gracious and firm with the president, saying we'd reached a deal. And the president had the best interests of Mexico in mind, and so did we. And we were able to do some juggling, and you know what? We reached an accord. And so this really was a situation that just showed the power of dialogue or, you know, a reconciliation. Lopez Obrador made a deal. He battered down some of the gas companies. I think there's a couple of Texas companies and a couple of Mexican companies, and there's Carlos Slim's company, which is Carso. And he says to them, you guys have to modify your policies. And the Mexican companies did that, and Lopez Obrador at the same time, as much as says, I didn't get everything I wanted, but we made it work. And so, anyway, this is just emblematic, this kind of thing of what you get when you watch these press conferences. And again, if for anybody that would like to listen to them, and either whether you speak Spanish or you want to practice your Spanish, if you will put in your Google search bar the following, You'll be able to watch him every day, and also the press conferences are chronicled as well. So if you go to YouTube, they're all there. Just put in the words Noticiero, N-O-T-I-C-I-E-R-O, Noticiero, which is newscast, really, and then N-E-N, and then Redes, which is R-E-D-E-S, and that is social networks. And it's just wonderful to watch. This is something that I don't believe any government has seen, period. And even if you're going to quiz me, you know, after I'm done with this blabbing on, and you say, Keith, have you become a convert? Have you become what we used to call a Mooney?
Sure.
I'm not sure they use the term anymore, but have you
only
you
with Governor Brown
and become like a zombie? The answer is no. López Obrador is still a bizarre character, and he still is wrong on a lot of issues. He's wrong. He really does have a paranoid streak to him. People that have been using what's called the amparo system. An amparo in Mexican law, Napoleonic jurisprudence is an injunction. And so what's happened with López Obrador is now that he's got this plan for the refinery, now he's got this plan to do the Santa Lucia airport instead of the Texcoco one, which he was planning on. Now he's planning to do this tourist train in the Mayan area of Mexico. People have been seeking injunctions to stop the work from happening. Now, the president always can issue executive decree and say, I want it, and then you have to go through kind of the equivalent of expropriation or an eminent domain process, but he hasn't done it yet. But he always has the right to do it. He's trying to do stuff right now through the Mexican court system. But it's just been fascinating to watch. And he calls it sabotaje legal, which is legal sabotage, you know, like sabotage through the amparo system or the injunction system. And he may be right. I don't know. I don't know enough about these individual cases. But he believes that everyone's against him. He always talks about our adversaries. Like, he's the good guy. He's the guy in the white hat and the kind of the hero. And everybody else is a bad guy. So, no, John Scott, I haven't become a hypnotic figure who walks around touting this guy. But I will say that in terms of opening himself up to the population, you imagine being 65 years old and every Monday, every day, Monday to Friday, you get up and you're surrounded by members of your cabinet and you're on your feet the entire time. You never sit down and you got on a suit and you get up and answer the dumbest questions in the world and some smart questions too. And then you get on with your day. That's a rigorous gig. And I doff my hat to the guy, regardless of how I feel about him ideologically.
Well, he fought 20 years to get that job and now he's got it. So
he ain't wasting any time, is he? That's correct.
No, that's right. Thanks so much, Keith Rosenblum, for all your observations and insights.
Thank you for
It's always good to talk with you. All right, we'll talk again soon, Keith. Thanks for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Well, Keith Rosenblum covers Mexico and the politics of Mexico for our radio station and the John C. Scott Show, as well as many other publications and news outlets all across the world. He's a great reporter. Mark Stegeman, we're waiting to get in touch with him. He's a member of the TUSD school board. He said, sure, I'll be available. He's not yet. What do we have to do with you, Mark? Slap you around? Is that what we have to do? We're prepared to do that if we need to. Yes, but we need to talk with you next. Mark Stegeman, member of the TUSD school board, scheduled next on the John C. Scott Show. Welcome back to the John C. Scott Political Talk Show at KVOI The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We want to thank Jim Nensel for being our first guest out of the box here at 3:05, and then, of course, Keith Rosenblum from Mexico. We had scheduled Mark Stegeman. Talked to him this morning. He said, I'll be glad to be on the show. I missed your call a couple of times and want to talk about TUSD. I'll be available at 3:40. And he's not available. So what do you do? What do you do? You know, we don't get a lot of calls on this show, and I've done this show for, gosh, I don't know, 31 years. But I'd really like to just take this opportunity, since we have no scheduled guests, to have you tell me what you thought of the primary election of 2019. We know Raheena Romero defeated, obviously, Steve Farley and Rondi Dorman, and she's going to be the nominee for the Democratic Party, and she'll be facing off against Ed Ackerley for the mayor's job of Tucson. We've been very critical of Raheena Romero. We know that her husband works for Raul Grijalva. Raul Grijalva gave me a call yesterday and said, I want to be on your show. I went, Congressman, I haven't heard from you. You're not very available to me over many, many years, but you're available to me now. You want to be on my show? You can have what you need. Tell me when you want to be on. Well, how about Friday? Friday's good. What about 3? 3, no. How about 4 o'clock? 4 o'clock all the time you want. So Congressman Raul Grijalva will be my guest tomorrow at 4. I will ask him, did you orchestrate the outside money that helped Raina Romero become the Democratic nominee of the party for mayor? Did you do that? Did you sit at your office and call the labor unions and other support groups from out of Pima County to pump what amounts to, well over $1 million into this race for mayor? Did you do that? And I don't know what his answer will be, but we'll find out at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Give me a call, 790-2040. I think it's doom and gloom if Raina Romero is the new mayor of Tucson. I think she's an indecisive person. I think we're going to go back to the times of trial and real, I think, times we just simply don't know which direction we're going as a city. I think we're going to lose Mike Ortega as the city manager. I think it's only going to hell in a handbasket. I really believe that. Maybe not. Hope I'm wrong. But what do you think? 790-2040. 790-2040 is the phone number, and I'd like to hear what you have to say. You don't have to agree with me. In fact, you may adamantly disagree with me. What are your hopes for the city of Tucson as we move into the general election of 2019? Let's go to Carlos on our phone lines. Carlos, welcome to our show. Welcome. Hi, Carlos. Nope. I have no idea what we're doing. Seriously, I don't. Maybe somebody could tell me. What are we doing?
Well, you're talking to a person on the phone.
Well, I wasn't told that by my producer, so I had no idea. And I don't read Braille, so, you know, what the hell. Go ahead. How are you? What's your name?
Mercedes.
Mercedes, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. What do you think of the election of 2019?
Well, first I would like to say I'm glad I discovered your show.
Oh, thank you.
Because I'm sort of a volunteer, and it's kind of Democrats on parade, so I like it very much.
Oh, it is.
And regarding the election, I'm disappointed that the way it was won was by character assassination and lies.
It was. You're right.
I'm sad, and someone quite possibly who I've admired for years is involved in this. So I'm pretty sad.
Well, I think you should be sad, and I have been too. You know, I've known Steve Farley for a long, long time. He's been on my show as a regular feature with the Farley Report as he was a legislator for 12 years, six years in the House, six in the Senate. And every week he'd give us a report on our show, so I got to know him very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I respected him a great deal. And when he ran for a mayor, I said, you know, I'm glad to try to get you on the air, and we'll try to figure out, you know, what people think. And my understanding was that he was leading the polls. Everything was going well until all this dark money came in at the end of the campaign. Almost $1 million, could be $1.5 million. And what they did with the dark money is they destroyed Steve Farley's voting record, distorted it, lied about it, said that he didn't support teacher raises during the Red for Ed movement, said he didn't support Medicaid expansion to give health care to over 500,000 Arizonans, and he did. They just lied and destroyed, really, his voting record by distortion. And I thought that was a really disgusting participation by these third-party people in this campaign, and they won this race for Raina Romero. She would never have won without them, in my opinion, Mercedes.
You know, as I stood and listened to you, I thought, you know, I wonder if it's that, or is it just that there are people that pay more attention to this stuff than others? And maybe it might have been a case of, I want to see more women in government, and people saying, well, I would like to see more Latinas or more Latina women in government. And maybe they decided both, they looked at both, and all things being equal, maybe, I don't know, maybe it was that. What do you think?
Well, I thought about that, too, and people have reminded me that this is the first Latino woman to be nominated for mayor, first Hispanic to be nominated for mayor as a woman, first woman to be nominated. And yeah. I was thinking to myself, well, maybe people really wanted that. I think there's probably a great many women in the Democratic Party that probably voted for her because she was a woman. But the point is that she had $1.5 million to sell this to the people of Tucson.
Yeah,
and that,
I know.
And without that money, there would have never been an even playing field between the longtime legislator Steve Farley and Rahina Romero. And I think that we never did go back into Rahina Romero's voting record and some of the crazy things that she's done as a city council person. That just kind of got blotted out in the whole series of additional dollars that were spent on the campaign. I wish her well. I hope she's going to be successful. I don't think she will be. I think we're going to go back to some very troubling times in Tucson. And I think we're going to lose the opportunity we had as Steve Farley would have been a great mayor. But we're going to find out, you know, as this unfolds, although she has to beat Ed Ackerley, who's a very bright, informed guy running as an independent. With the homework that he did, I think he's well qualified to be mayor. So we're just going to find out.
Well,
I thought the third-party money was disgusting.
Yes, it was.
And I was so disappointed by it, to be honest with you, as you were.
Well, Dr. Ed is starting to look better to me.
There you go. Well, you got to vote. Thank you.
Always.
I appreciate it, Mercedes. Thank you very much for calling.
Oh, and by the way,
yeah.
Don't you pick on my friend Molly McCaslin anymore.
Oh, I like Molly.
One of the nicest people you'll ever meet in your life.
You know she is. She absolutely is. We didn't get along when she was on the council. I had her on the air talking about gun control. About 6 weeks ago. We had a wonderful conversation.
Yes, you did. I heard part of that.
There
yes.
you go. Well, she's still around, so we are. Both of us are. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. Bye-bye. Carlos is on our show. Welcome, Carlos, to the John C. Scott Political Forum. Hi.
Hi. Hey, John. I like your show. I don't agree with you on most things, but as an observer, here's what I see. This big spending is, it's almost like now Grijalva is going to own Pima County. If you're a Democrat, and this should kind of scare Democrats. I'm not a Democrat, but you will not be able to run for anything in Pima County if she wins without coming to him or her. You won't be able to get elected. And if you cross them, guess what? Now they've got the big money to crush any Democrat. You know, I heard you have on the last couple of days, you had some previous Democrat chairman who said Grijalva did his own thing. He's the Pima County Democrat Party had thing, but Grijalva ran his own thing from the south side. And you know what's going to happen to the Democrat Party? They will become irrelevant because everything will center around him. What's your take on that?
You know, you've said exactly what I said 2 days ago. That from now on, if you're a Democrat, you want to cross Rahina Romero and she becomes mayor, you do so at your own peril because she can throw money at you. You know she can throw money at you.
Yes.
She threw money at Steve Farley by the buckets full, $1.5 million.
Yes.
dollars. You better walk very quietly around here. You better step aside when she comes through with her police escort.
Yep,
I'm telling
you. You're a business,
they own.
If you're a business person, you better get used to going down, you know, to Rego's and kissing the ring down there because you won't get anything done.
Well, I'm going to tell you something.
They will own Pima County.
They do own Pima County, and I'm going to tell that to Grijalva tomorrow. Grijalva, I'm going to say, you own it.
You
what are you going to do with it?
What are you going to do now? Anyways.
Well, no, you're absolutely right, and I said it 2 days ago. You've said it again. You said it much more plainly and directly than I said it, but it's true. He owns Pima County. There is a new party in town, and it's run by Raul Grijalva. He owns it. He owns this town. So get used to it. Thank you.
Yep. So thanks, John. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Marianne's our next caller. Hi, Marianne. Welcome to the John C. Scott Show. Glad you called. Thanks.
Hey, John. Thank you so much. So ditto to everything that was just said, Tucson is in the tank, and it's a sewer tank because of these elections and because of Grijalva. Thank you, City of Tucson citizens, for making Tucson the S-hole it is. And
well,
that's all
I wouldn't
got to
go
say.
That far, but I'm simply saying it's going to be a lot more difficult to solve our problems now because it's going to be, she's going to flip on Sanctuary City and she's going to support it. She's going to flip on $15 minimum wage and she's going to support it. All the things she told the business community she's not going to do. That's the kind of mayor you're going to have. And you better
get
used to it.
And they still voted for her.
They did.
They still voted for her. They know that she's not going to do it. So thank you, everybody. I'm glad I don't live in the city of Tucson. I do have to work there, and I'm so disappointed. And city of Tucson citizens, you know, wake up. It's ridiculous. But thanks, John.
Thank you, Marianne. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks.
This portion of the John C. Scott Show brought to you by Perfection Auto Works at 1046 North Beverly. You can call Mike Emery at 323-8650. Here is a place I've found that can repair my family's cars. And they do it in an honest manner. They do it with a fair price. And they do it with professional people that know what they're doing. Mike Emery's Perfection Auto Works at 1046 North Beverly. 323-8650. There's hundreds of choices you have for auto repair in Tucson, Arizona. But when you come to Mike Emery's and Perfection Auto Works, each service tech is ASE certified. Customer reviews as long as your arm. I'm proud to recommend Mike Emery and Perfection Auto Works at 1046 North Beverly, 323-8650. I'm John C. Scott. I trust Mike Emery to repair my car and your car as well. And you can too. The John C. Scott Show will continue after the news at the top of the hour. Well, thank you for the callers that we've had, and some obviously agreed with the concerns that we have. It's going to be an interesting conversation with Raul Grijalva tomorrow. I haven't talked to him very often as he's been in office forever, but we have from time to time. I've been in his office in Washington, D.C. on a couple of occasions. It's always been gracious and hospitable to me when our film crew was there. He's always been gracious in talking with me when he wants to, and he wanted to yesterday because he called and said, let me be on your show. I'm going to ask him, did you orchestrate this outside money for Raheena Romero? Did you do it? And what's he going to say? Well, no, I didn't do it. I'm going to say, well, who else did it? Who else could have done it? You're the only one that could have done it. You're the only one with the power to do it. You own Pima County and Tucson City Government now. Good luck to us all. It's going to be a nightmare. It's going to be a nightmare. Well, you have a choice. You got Ed Ackerley, a very brilliant guy who loves this town and is smart enough to be a great mayor and good enough to be a great mayor. You got to take a real close look at this guy. You do have one final chance to save this city. One final chance. We'll be back following the news at the top of the hour. I'm going to talk with Steve Lynn, civic leader, Southern Arizona Leadership Council. What does he think about the future of the city of Tucson's council and mayor? We'll talk with Steve Lynn after these messages and a world news report at the top of the hour. This program brought to you by Perfection Auto Works and Mike Emery at 1046 North Beverly. Call him at 323-8650.